your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web. It's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 14 years now at the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Blood and Guts with my excellent co-host, the one and only Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Guts. Well, it's been a month and neither of us have been droned, so I'm celebrating.
That's true. That's true. I saw a cute poster this morning online and it said, once again, the assassins missed. I thought it was pretty cute. It took me a second to think it over, and then I thought it was pretty cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, a lot of crap's happened in the month since we've talked last. But what I think, you know, I got to tell you, Jack, I think the biggest story, you know, isn't Syria. It's not healthcare. It's not what's going on, you know, if the government's going to shut down, you know, bombings here, bombings there. The biggest story to me is Fukushima, and hardly anybody's covering it. If the whole world doesn't pitch in and try to figure out how to stop this and how to clean up those nasty-ass fuel rods, every other issue is going to go away as we all die either a fast or a slow death. What do you think about Fukushima being so ignored in the media?
Well, one reason it's being ignored, I think, and you can accredit Greg Palast for his excellent work in Vulture's Picnic exposing this, is that all of the other nuclear plants are set up much in the same way with faulty generators where they've cut corners, and you can take away a conspiracy and just call it greed. And in order for a nuclear reactor to even be feasible, they have to cut corners. It's just not really a very, by the way, clean and also practical form of energy. So they don't want this in the media, Maria, and you know you don't talk bad about pharmaceutical companies, McDonald's, Monsanto. There's a lot of things that are protected, and the nuclear industry is certainly one of those. So I don't even know if it's so much that they don't want to scare you, because they seem to like to do that, and I'm sure they can provide a solution for Fukushima if they needed to, at least an illusion of one. But I really think they don't want to call attention to the fact that all the nuclear reactors we have here in the United States are also vulnerable. So, you know, there's that. And as far as the damage done, I'm no expert in the field, I'll tell you that right now, but it certainly should worry us all as, you know, the nuclear fuel rods leak into the oceans and get into the food chain. It's definitely more serious than Chernobyl. And I haven't heard anyone talk about, you know, what we're going to do to clean that up. So it's, you know, it's definitely one of those things that I think it's above people's heads. You know, a lot of people just don't really understand what the truth is. There's so much information out there.
Right. Well, you know, last week, Harv Wasserman, I don't know if you're familiar with Harv's work, but Harv's been doing, you know, work on nuclear energy and the dangers of it forever. Okay. I used to have him on my show rather regularly. And he put out a great piece. I think Truth Out ended up reposting it. But he basically said right now it's so urgent that the entire world should be sending their top scientists all over there to try to figure out what they can do. Because one mistake and it's all kaboom. And you know what? People just still don't want to pay attention. I mean, the whole thing, I mean, Japan, you know, when this happened, I immediately said Japan is over. And yet they picked Japan for the Olympics in 2020. Yeah. Are these people all stupid or what?
Well, you know, I do the James Corbett show once a month, and he broadcast out of Japan, and he's just had a new baby, and I know he's done some pretty hard-hitting reporting on it, but he hasn't left yet.
So, well, I don't know what he's waiting
for. That guy's still there. I'm somewhat comfortable. We have to be careful because there is a lot of fear-mongering. There's a lot of embellishing going on in part of the story. And then, as you mentioned, on the mainstream media, the complete whitewashing of it. So the truth is somewhere in the middle, I believe.
Well, I don't know. You know, after having interviewed, you know, so many nuclear experts over the years, especially I remember Dr. Helen Caldicott and her book, which terrified me, Jack. I think I read 6 pages of it and I couldn't sleep for 3 days. When I look at this, just knowing what I know, and I'm certainly not claiming to be an expert, but I'm also not stupid. I mean, I've been talking about, you know, against nuclear energy for 30 years. But when you have, you know, a top U.S. nuclear official saying that a force beyond human control was unleashed at Fukushima, and you look at some of these other experts and the amount of thyroid cancer already in their children, you need to tell your friend James to get the hell out of there. I mean, sometimes you just got to be smart.
Well, and he is pretty smart. He's a classic egghead type, and maybe he will. You know, it's tough. Just what would happen if this went down in Arizona? You know, you'd have to pick up your roots and leave, and it's obviously, you know, kind of difficult. One of the things I always brought up, Maria, when we were talking about this for the last, what has it been, almost 2 years now, mm-hmm. that, you know, we don't think a lot about the radiation all around us and the, you know, microwave, the cell phones, the wireless, of course, going through the naked scanner at the airport, the radiating of the food, and God knows what else mm-hmm. is emanating from all of the new technologies. And I really, truly believe that in some ways this is completely changing our species right down to the DNA level. And I don't know if this is the plan or if this is an accident, if in 20 or 30 years we're all going to have three heads or
right.
or what the situation is. I can tell you that, you know, the power elite at the top generally know how to protect themselves, and I doubt they want to share that with the world, because if a lot of us could disappear, it would, you know, take a lot of pressure off of them. But, you know, on the one hand, we look at Fukushima. On the other, we don't look at, again, our own nuclear reactors or the things that are radiating us every day all around us. So, I mean, these are all important.
Absolutely. Listen, you know, from what I understand and people I've interviewed, just using a cell phone throws off that radiation 200 feet around you. So even though I choose not to have one, I'm still getting bombarded by everybody else's cell phone radiation.
That's right. It's secondhand radiation. And the people that do it are the yuppies that always tell me I'm not allowed to smoke anywhere in the world.
Right, but just
I go on that rant.
Exactly. I see I'm worried about smoke from one little cigarette. How about all the radiation from your friggin' cell phones?
Yeah,
and you know, when I'm in a
car
with
an epidemic of soft tissue cancer, even more so than what we got from the polio vaccine here, you know, 30, 40 years ago, we find out, you know, this stuff rears its ugly head decades later, and we'll be told that, you know, the new cell phones are good, they didn't mean to do all of this, now everything is better, and we constantly hear this 20 years down the road. We'll hear, you know, what they exposed us to, just like some of the medications that we've been given that kill us, and the vaccines, and then the long list of chemical weapons we're constantly being, you know, under attack by.
I know. We're like
serious chemical weapons, and then we look up and see the chemicals falling right from the sky. So, you know, I kind of fear, having a little guy, I kind of fear for what this is doing to us as a species, all of it, Fukushima all the way down.
Well, I got to agree with you. And then you look at the weather, whether or not it's natural or not, you know, because I'm going to go with or not, especially looking at Mexico. You know, they get a typhoon, a hurricane, and another hurricane all in the same week. I mean, from every coast. And, you know, you've got so many people just dead, you know, buried under mud. You saw those floods in Colorado. They're calling it a 100-year flood, but they had the same flood 40 years ago, so it's not a 100-year flood. You know, you've got these major earthquakes. There was a big one this morning. I think it was a 7.0 in Peru. There was over a 7 Monday, I guess, in Indonesia. I mean, the earth is going crazy, and I'm sure we've contributed to some of it. And then this morning I get a note that Yellowstone had 3 small swarms of earthquakes. And, you know, for years people have predicted Yellowstone blowing. And if it does, you know, they've kind of figured out it would split the country in half. So to me, yeah, you know, the planets.
And that's a touchy subject, isn't it? Because what was it, 10,000 years ago, we had an ice age. We didn't have, you know, weather modification and factories spitting out dioxin and all the rest of it and cars driving all over the world and, you know, so, and cows farting, whatever, they blame it on people generally. But I'm with you. I think that the climate change has some aspects of it reek of manipulation. And whether that's unintended consequences or intended consequences, I don't think we're absolutely sure, but it's certainly something that needs to enter into the public debate.
Absolutely. I mean, we have a government that, you know, they just keep pulling classically defined false flags. I mean, that shooting at the Navy Yard, you know, is a classic false flag. To the point where I don't even want to cover them or break the stories down anymore because it's a waste of my time. You can just assume that's the way it goes. But I think they do this for distraction.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I was just thinking the same thing. Why even bother going through all the information to prove it to people that something is a false flag? 99% of the time, it is. I've seen incidents happen that I thought weren't, but, and you know, when they're underreported, generally that is something they didn't do on purpose. If they didn't do it on purpose, they try to use it anyway and strap themselves to it. But you get to a point where, just assume. Everything seems to be really fishy. We never get any answers to our questions. We never get to see any evidence. And I think, I really believe that Americans and people around the world are getting sick of it. They just don't believe it. They don't buy it anymore. And since the last time we talked, we averted a war in Syria because I think public consensus turned against the warmongers. Mm-hmm. The war profiteers, and in my lifetime, that's the first time I've ever seen that happen. And whether it stays that way or whether there's some plan B already in effect, we can talk about it, but they wanted to go in and have that war, and they're not doing it right now. And you can talk about how that's been diverted to Kenya, et cetera, but maybe they'll always get their war. But I thought it was a huge step.
Absolutely.
For us as a people that want peace.
Absolutely. And I think that social media is what really, you know, put that together and stopped it, which is, of course, another reason they're going to try to shut down the internet. But people power is happening. I understood this morning that they kicked back that Monsanto Protection Act because of the activism against it. So when people sit back and say there's nothing we can do, they're so wrong, Jack.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to think of that father that stood up at some school board meeting on that core curriculum, and he got all manhandled by one of the peons standing in the room, and then they arrested him, and they were going to charge him with all kinds of charges. It went viral online, and they released him today with no charges. So if we can't make things go viral online, we can't make a change. But people still have to realize we have the power. There's 300 million of us in the United States being ruled by the most inept, corrupt, immoral bastards God ever put on the face of the earth. How's that for a sentence?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You look at what Obama was promising and what he was supposed to bring, and anyone that's giving, you know, this half a thought and thinking it through realizes that we got completely screwed. And this was our JFK, right? This is the guy that was going to come save us. And,
right.
You know, maybe this is going to cause apathy and anger, and we have to go through these reins of emotions to deal with this. But I've never been more on the same page with people who I couldn't even have a conversation with, you know, just a year or two ago. So what it means and where we go from here is a very complex subject. But I'm just happy to sit down and take a little credit, Maria, and look at the world around us and see that, hey, we're at least going in the right direction.
Absolutely. I mean, when you have, you know, Putin, who ends up suggesting a diplomatic solution in Syria and gets his way, and then you have now the president of Iran speaking at the UN today, where Obama has said he's going to try to work things out diplomatically with Iran and on behalf of the Palestinians, which I see the regular news did not include in that story. Israel, of course, is pissed off to the gills. But either Obama is realizing we don't have the world power we used to have, or the world is really making us look bad because we want to bomb first instead of talk first. So when you have these countries that we're supposed to believe are the bad guys, Iran and Russia, embarrassing us on the world stage, what choice does he have?
Yeah, that kind of worries me a little bit, because he does kind of have to save himself on this level. I don't doubt that as he's nearing the end of his second term here, and we're talking about legacy and libraries and statesmanship now, that he wouldn't mind going down as the peace president and these kinds of things and giving people a few bones. But all of it, I mean, I'm not giving any credit to this administration. They've started to do some things that I think reflect, again, the consensus of the people, from the legalization of marijuana, medical marijuana, hemp. I mean, that whole thing altogether, now the discussion of how to get people out of our completely full and growing prison systems, all of this we have pushed on them. What worries me is that, you know, these guys have a certain amount of hubris. Obama doesn't call the shots, and his options may only be attack, 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 kill, kill, kill in order to save face. So, you know, when you get a guy that people are calling weak, what does he want to do? He wants to go bully some little kid on the playground and prove himself, and that's definitely something I'm worried about. And I guess if you're one of the quote-unquote rogue nations around the world, you probably are a little nervous about it too.
Right. Well, one thing I do like that's the outcome, at least so far, apparent outcome out of Syria, is how many spokespeople in the Middle East have actually gotten the attention now towards Israel's nuclear arsenal and asking the world they want Israel to disarm.
We've come a long way since your interview with Mordecai Vanunu, haven't we? I mean, it's pretty much all common knowledge now, whereas if you even brought that up in the past, you know, you'd be jailed. So it just shows, you know, if you just keep at this and you just keep putting the truth out there, it begins to become accepted as fact, which it is, and second nature. So now there's not even a debate that those guys have a nuclear arsenal. Now we know they have Iron Dome, that they've been working and even some say controlling our NSA and the global spying program. A lot of this is coming out, and that they have provoked, you know, they were negotiating a peace. This is almost such a shame to even bring up, but because it's so bad and so fake, but there was a peace negotiation with Palestine here in the last week or two. And don't you know that right in the middle of this, the Palestinians decide to shoot a couple of IDF soldiers.
Mm.
And then the peace negotiations break off, and we're back to concentration camp Palestine. I mean, I doubt seriously they're cutting their own throat like this, and we know how Israel works. So they sabotage their peace process, but it's just getting harder. It's just getting a lot harder for them, for the neocons they own, like Lindsey Graham and John McCain and Peter King in Congress. These guys are falling off the face of the earth. They're the old guard, and I don't think they want to go willingly. So,
no, they don't, but they need to go.
It makes me a little nervous.
Right, but they need to go. And I just wanted to correct myself. That big earthquake this week was not in Indonesia. It was in Pakistan on Monday, I think, a 7.8. 7.8 in Pakistan, and all I could think of is all the drones we've been hitting them with, and is that a real earthquake, or was it HAARP generated?
Yeah, well, I think if you're in power in any sophisticated country around the world, and Pakistan is, China, Russia, they're either developing these things for themselves, or they have absolute firsthand knowledge that these weapons exist, the scalar weapons and weapons of mass destruction, and we're not just talking about people, but the planet. You know, look, I don't like talking about a lot of this stuff because I don't want to make people paranoid. I don't want to, you know, stoke people's intimate fears. Well, what can we do then? There's nothing we can do if they can just put a big earthquake down on us, or if they could just wipe us all out. Well, why do we even bother? And I don't believe that that's how these guys work. They work on incrementalism and taking big steps a lot of the times. isn't the way to go, because it ends up backfiring, as we saw that, I think, really what happened with 9/11 here. So I don't know if every earthquake is a fake quake. I tend to believe that the earth, you know, sometimes does fight back, and these are just natural occurrences. And again, I'm not an expert, so I can't do anything more than, as you are, speculating. But right. I would definitely be suspicious.
Well, I got to tell you, when I started doing this, Jack, many moons ago, the word conspiracy, you know, I was so careful around any kind of conspiratorial stories. And now, all these years later, after all this investigation, my new feeling is everything coming out of the government and the media is a conspiracy unless they prove different. No different than you and I, you know, if we had to go to court, you know, we used to believe you're innocent till proven guilty, but that changed. You know, our whole judicial system is one big joke. You know, you're guilty unless you can prove yourself innocent is really the way it is. And now that's how I feel about our government.
And they see us, well, and you have a right to. And this is why, you know, congressional and approval ratings for the government seem to just find new lows every year. And I think this has definitely been the catalyst for us getting some of these victories. But there's so much to do, and they're working on every front. You know, from Wall Street to on down, I thought we might talk about healthcare a little bit today. So,
sure.
You know, there's in cost-benefit analysis, there's so many different ways for them to benefit and so many things that we have to fight that taking these things on, you know, issue by issue and particle by particle is going to have to be a thing of the past. We're going to have to take bigger steps and make bigger efforts, and it's going to take more from everybody out there in order to speed some of this stuff along. And we're just going to have to institute some kind of a real watchdog over both government and corporate society in order to, you know, find ourselves in a place where we're not constantly trying to catch up.
Exactly. You know, talking about healthcare, it was a couple of years ago. I believe his first name was David. I interviewed David Himmelstein, and he had a great book out on universal healthcare and how easy it would be for everybody to be covered under universal healthcare and how inexpensive it would be because everyone would use the same system. Everyone would have the same insurance card. Everyone would have the same coverage, which eliminates what most doctors complain about is the insurance aspect when you show up in their office and how much time, money, and effort it takes to get paid from a million different companies, et cetera, et cetera. And it would actually save us money. It's a way better plan than Obamacare, for sure. But, of course, no one wants to talk about it because I still believe it's the insurance companies that are going to make out like a bandit under Obamacare.
Well, many people believe, and that's true, and they already are. I mean, the investment in their stock has shot through the roof, and premiums are going up. And, you know, that's all news that we kind of know. A lot of people have suggested that this was doomed to fail, set up to fail, so that we can move to what the government calls and their supporters call a single-payer system. And this, again, puts the government in charge of health care. It is truly socialized medicine at this point. That's going in the wrong direction, in my opinion, because if you just look at Obamacare, they estimate on the low end that it's $1 trillion to subsidize everybody and everything and to help the people that can't afford it and get everybody on this insurance. And that, you know, that doesn't speak to, you know, the loss of the ability to cure Americans or to make them feel better. It doesn't even get into that. So for $1 trillion, you can say, well, let's build 1,000 free clinics. You know, no strings attached because privacy and freedom should be an issue, I think, and that's one of my biggest problems with Obamacare. You know, it brings the government into our house, and we've done this reporting to do periodic checks on are you doing the right things for your health since we're paying for your health or your insurance, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just, It puts all of your information online so that your employer can see, all right, is this guy healthy enough to hire or not? It creates a no-work list, a no-rent list, all of this, right? Mm-hmm. But look at this, 1,000 clinics, right? $10 million a year for 100 years. That's what $1 trillion buys. And that's not including donations, volunteers, also the issue of subsidizing the medical industrial complex profits and prices, price fixing, price gouging. So imagine what can be done if on top of that we solve the banking, the money supply problem, the IRS extortion problems. You know, the Fed is printing $1.02 trillion a year in quantitative easing. That's zero interest for banks. General interest for the rest of us on borrowing that money from the banks if they even loan it to us on bonds and then fractional reloans. So, I mean, look at all the money we've got out here. Trillions for the Pentagon every year. A trillion for the drug war, the police state and everything, the NSA and everything that goes with that. So when we start talking about positive austerity, we have the money to create a great system to take care of people, not run by the government, but run by the communities. Mm-hmm. And that is, to me, the answer. I think that we could do this, again, if we take over the problem and don't try to pass the buck and don't let the government butt into this. It just shouldn't have anything to do with them.
Right.
So here's the money we're spending, and then instead of that, here's what we could get. I mean, just right off the top of my head, 1,000 free clinics, $10 million a year for 100 years.
Absolutely. Well, that kind of fits in with my interview yesterday with Larkin Rose. I don't know if you're familiar with his work or not.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, finally, somebody to answer the question, what do we need government for? The answer is pretty much nothing. But, Jack, let's get back to the healthcare thing because I just had this on my desk, so I reached for it. I just got my renewal. You know, I have my own insurance with Blue Cross Blue Shield. And they just sent me my renewal, which every year goes up. It never goes down. It doesn't matter that I didn't use it all year or I'm healthy. And they sent me this notice with it, Jack, with the $50 happy birthday. Your premium's going up another $50 a month. I want you to listen to it. And they said, healthcare reform and you. Learn more about what reform could mean to you now and in the future. Because you purchased your health coverage from Blue Cross before March of 2010, your plan is considered grandfathered. That means your plan isn't subject to many of the required changes brought about by healthcare reform, and so it may be less costly than the new 2014 plans. And it said new plans that meet the requirement for healthcare reform will likely have higher premiums because they include benefits you may not want or need. For example, maternity coverage must be included in new plans, which can make premiums more costly. So I don't want to be paying for coverage I'm not going to use. My maternity plan days are over, Jack.
Yeah.
But to get this warning from Blue Cross, you know, to me, of course I'm going to keep my plan. It's still the cheapest I can find out there at my age. They're pretty much telling you what everybody else is finding out, that your premiums are going to go crazy. That's my thought.
Well, listen, when you have a monopoly, you get to set the price. I mean, let's look at, again, we could look at forced insurance for driving your car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much money have you paid into that, first of all, and what are you getting back? I have never had an accident, really.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really had to go and use my insurance, even just in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't get cheaper. As they're able to completely, I mean, this is not free market capitalism. I know people blame this on capitalism, and I'm not even sticking up for it, but that's not what it is. It's cartel capitalism, and this is always the problem. So when you would think when people, you know, are buying more of it, and it can, you know, we can all average out the prices, but in corporate collectivism, that creates more demand and less supply, supposedly, and so the prices just have to go up. But the worst part about it is, while prices are going up for things like food and healthcare and every other MFing thing, money is worth less and less every day.
Exactly.
And you're not, you know, making more money on your jobs. So the disparity here is shocking. And I think that's why you don't hear a lot of talking about that as well, because you can fix the minimum wage, you can do these little things, but it's not going to change the fact that, you know, in 10 years you've lost 30% of the dollar.
Exactly. So, well, you know, Americans today, truthfully, aren't making any more money than they made in the 80s. Not if you factor in the price of everything else going up. And you may not know this, Jack, but, you know, when I was younger, I worked almost 22 years in the insurance business in New York. And I understand how insurance works and what a ripoff it was. But, and from all those years ago, we're talking 40 years ago, Jack. And, you know, there were, at that time, you used to get a break if you didn't use your insurance. You know what I mean? The next year, your premium would be a little lower. But now it's all collectivism. Okay, the reason they jacked my premium $50, even though I haven't used it all year, is because they say they have to spread out the pool of all their claims that they had this year, and everybody has to pay. So you're not just paying for health insurance. You're paying for everybody else's operations and abuse of the system.
Right, that's exactly right, and that's why, again, that it's going to give them the ability to monitor what you do in your life, because they're going to use the excuse that it is costing people, and it is. The fact of the matter is that if we didn't have to pay these enormous fees and taxes on everything, and remember that that stuff gets passed down, so even if you're poor and you don't make enough money to pay federal income tax, you're paying it on everything you buy, on your rent, on your phone bill, on it. It's always constantly there. It's always grabbing bites out of everything that you create with your life force. So, and I want people to understand that money isn't to go to build the roads or to help people.
Exactly.
That money goes to the military-industrial complex. That money goes to the banking-industrial complex, paying interest on the bonds where we're printing, again, $85 billion a month and handing it to the bankers, okay? That's where your money goes. That's why they constantly need more, because it doesn't do anything. But if we don't have that, if we have a real currency and stabilized money, then we're able to not only help people in our own communities with our extra money, but we're able to help ourselves. I can go pay cash for my health care, unless, again, I have some catastrophic problem, and there should be some institution set up to catch and help people like that, and there kind of is, but depends on how catastrophic your health problem might be. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, we can afford to pay for this stuff. I can afford to pay for checkups at the dentist for my son if I'm getting to keep my money and use my money. I mean, I'm poor. I'm technically in the poor class, and my wife and I are both doing better, and we're working harder and all of that, but our money buys less and less all the time, and we seem to be doing worse and worse. We're always one thing away from catastrophe, you know, living week to week. So is the answer to that to pay $200-$300 a month to forced in insurance?
No, of
course
not. That's
not the answer. It's also obvious. So
right.
The answer is that if my money is worth more, if there is some community institutions out there to help us and to help everybody that's poor, not to steal from the poor. I mean, the poor tax is everywhere. We could talk about gasoline tax and sin tax and everything that just seems to focus right in on the poor class here in America. Then we can do it for ourselves. We don't need the help, is the thing. So, and that's kind of where I'm at with all of this. It's always the wrong thing. You know, the old Seinfeld episode, Maria, just do the opposite.
Right.
And everything starts getting better. I mean, I'm almost at that point here. Whatever the government says, we'll just do the opposite and we'll probably be okay.
Right. Well, you know, I'd like to just throw in a little history here, because a lot of people probably don't know. You know, the concept of insurance began in this country because of pirates. Okay. The very first insurance company was Lloyd's of London. And the only reason that they even formed were, a lot of times when ships were coming to America from overseas, pirates would hit the ships before they even landed here. Thus, they started insuring the ships so that if the goods never arrived, at least the person that shipped them wasn't out their money. And look at what it has become. Now the insurance companies are the pirates.
Exactly. Well, and it's highway robbery, and there's a lot of metaphors and euphemisms we can put into that. I'd like your listeners to go ahead and do a search on pirates and Yale University and see what they come up with, because it's very interesting.
Pirates and Yale University?
They have a long history of opium wars and pirates, and so you start thinking, well, if I attack the people and then I offer them insurance, you're handling both sides of the problem again. It's the Hegelian dialectic right there.
Absolutely. Jack, we're going to go to a short break. Stay with us. Jack and I will be right back.
Can you imagine the work and preparation that goes into producing and hosting a radio show 4 days a week? 14 years and still keeping it fresh and informative? Maria does it and does it well. Did you know Maria also has a huge online presence and dedicates time each day to inform her friends on social media? Check her out on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and YouTube. Maria is easy to find. She uses her real name everywhere, Maria Heller. Let's create a world of our own choice and vision by joining together to support those who support truth. If you aren't subscribed to her show, select a subscription of your choice on her site at maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net. And join the informed, happy group of listeners. You are never alone. Now let's get back to this fabulous show.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Blood and Guts with myself and my friend and co-host, Jack Blood. You know, when anybody starts trying to slam Jack, they're going to have to go through me is the way I see it. And I can tell you this, Jack has integrity, he's loyal, and he actually cares. And if anybody's going to tell me that either Jack or I are getting rich on what we're doing, I want them to prove that to me. Because I do get those slams every now and then, especially on social media, Jack. And, you know, I tell people, you know, unless you really know me, you need to shut the F up. Okay? Because people have no idea the amount of sacrifice and insanity we must have to do what we do when we could be like everybody else and bury our head in the sand and get a job and say, I got mine, screw you.
I try not to complain. You know, years ago, I'll tell you this quick little story. Years ago, I thought, well, we're doing this work, and it's becoming so popular that at some point, people like Maria Heller and Jack Blood, they're going to replace the mainstream media. And I kept thinking, well, you know, I'll just keep focusing on doing the best work I can, and at some point, some guy from a network or whatever is going to call me up and go, hey, you know, you're taking the place of Glenn Beck or whatever. You know, you're getting that offer. Instead, those guys slowly rip us off just enough so that they can still sound relevant. And you've got people like the big pink piggy, Lush Limbaugh, as I call him, still making the most money in radio by saying the things that I was saying 10 years ago, that he was calling me crazy and a conspiracy theorist and even a potential terrorist for saying, such as the Federal Reserve has no reserves and isn't federal and is printing money. I mean, these are things that they would have never said. So they've just adopted some of our basic, not rhetoric, but information and made themselves look like they're the new guy on the block. So, I mean, that game is so rigged. You know, but again, I'm not complaining because what we have spawned all these years is this mass, I'm not even calling it a movement, this mass awareness, which of course we know lives in social media, on the internet, and even at the water cooler today. So, has it been worth it? You know, Picasso never sold a painting. Van Gogh never sold a painting in his life, you know? I mean, who am I? You know what I'm saying? Maybe 100 years from now, my grandchildren will benefit from my work financially, but they'll definitely benefit, you know, in their lives.
Absolutely, and I totally agree, you know, and I just got into that argument with somebody on Facebook, you know, accusing me basically of being, you know, a millionaire, and, ooh, how dare you charge for your show? And I'm like, you don't know me. You don't know anything you're talking about. Normally, I don't even address people like that. But I decided to let him know the real facts and asked him if he wanted to trade places. And the truth of the matter is, Jack, I do what I do for myself. I have kids. I have grandchildren. You know, I see everybody else's kids wherever I go, little babies, you know, that are falling down to this planet at this particular time in history. God only knows what mission they're on. And that's why I do what I do. I mean, you know, you and I met, you know, what is it, Jack, 15 years ago? And as you know, I was making a damn good living at that time. And I just tripped into radio, and that's how you and I met. But our radio dealing was strictly a financial deal. It was a business deal. And when the business was done, I was done. I said, okay, I did this radio thing, you know, one of my business partners wanted me to do. And now that's done. I wanted to go back to business where I actually made a good living and supported myself. But it wasn't in the cards, Jack. It was obviously meant for me to continue doing radio, which has cost me everything. Do you know what I mean? And I don't want to hear anybody else's story, you know. And I'm like, you know, you want something for free? I said, you know, you got plenty of people out there for free. But, you know, look at who's sponsoring them. Ford Foundation, gold companies. What right. do you think you're hearing there?
Right.
You know, it's just the party
they have,
line.
They have agendas, and your agenda is a personal one, as I guess mine is. We all have some kind of an agenda. I want, you know, peace and liberty in the world, you know.
Shame on you.
Children to have the same opportunities that I had to live a free life and to contemplate higher consciousness, because I think that's more important than just going to work every day and buying TVs and stuff. And I try to instill this in my own child, and, you know, I hope that he passes it along to his children. All of this is really important. I think your listeners know that, but let's keep things into perspective. Do you pay to have your internet service? Do you pay to have your cable TV, if you guys watch TV and cable TV out there? Do you go out and if, you know, you're buying or you're going to a concert, do you pay to go into that concert? You know, I talk to a football stadium full of people every week, and if I was a rock star doing that, you know how much money I'd be making. So, you know, sometimes we kind of cut our own throat by giving our work away for free because we want as many people to hear it and to know about it as possible. But at the same time, you've got to monetize your work. And I think many people doing what we're doing have come to this realization. It's just how to do it is right. is the question.
Right. Well, and it's also, you know, having the support of people that want the information, but still, I think that what happened is in the beginning with the internet, everything was free and people got used to it and they still expect it to be that way. Well, try to get a subscription to the New York Times without paying for it. It's not going to happen. You know, and even as a Reiki teacher and Reiki master, I've always taught my students, if you're going to give somebody a healing or whatnot, just make sure there's an exchange, because what you give people for free is the value they put on it. Nothing. And it doesn't have to be money. It could be a haircut. It could be a massage. It could be whatever that person wants to barter. But never give away your gifts for free. That's another program of this insane reality. Oh, you're born with a gift. You should just give it away. Well, that'd be great if, you know, if a check for your mortgage fell out of the sky every month. But I haven't had that happen to me yet.
Yeah. Well, let's pay our basketball players $25 million a year and people like Maria Heller nothing.
Right. That makes sense.
Maybe that's the problem with our society. It is kind of a bad mix of priorities. But, you know, there is a way to do it, and I just really hope people realize the value they get by subscribing to you. And I think we're going to have to move to something similar to your system, at least for part of what we offer, just because I want to be able to keep doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, the voices that you and I have, I mean, you cannot accuse us of spreading propaganda. You cannot accuse us of taking sides with Democrats, Republicans. We are really the free voices out there, and it's very original, and I think your listeners know, I know my listeners and fans know
sure.
that they're not getting what I say anywhere else, that they know that I'm coming from a good place and that I've been doing this long enough that I can give them expert analysis, whether it's through me or my guests. So it's just interesting to see that, you know, I had Ben Swan on my show here a week or so ago. Here's a guy that comes from Fox, the Fox News affiliate, and people, you know, who claim to be part of the alternative media, what do? They take a guy from Fox, they give him all their money to create a new media, alternative media empire.
Right.
And it's got to be just really annoying to people like you, Maria, because I know it is to me. I think he does good work and all of that. It's still kind of stuck in a little bit of a paradigm, right? And he's probably a Republican anyway. But it's just so amazing how we can, you know, learn so much about all these these alternative ideas and look at the people that have put all the work in, and then one guy just comes along with a tie and says, makes a few good videos, and all of a sudden he's got, you know, $10 million in his pocket. So it's weird, but we press on.
All right. Well, hey, some people do have a price. You know, I used to think everybody did till I found out I didn't. So, you know, look, I just do what I do, and when I can't do it anymore, I won't do it anymore. But one thing I do pride myself on, Jack, when I started online, there were very few, you know, maybe a handful of people doing what I did. A lot of them already gone. But it also sparked a lot of young people to start doing what you and I do. Now you can find thousands of podcasts online instead of, you know, 5 or 10.
Well, I've been through the boiler, so as have you. If you don't sell out and you don't comply in the alternative media, you dare to disagree with the opinion makers, they will punish you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You look at the people like us that are still around, and it's just a miracle, and I'm not, you know, patting either of us on the back. I'm just stating a fact. How in hell are we still around?
I don't know.
You're going our own way here.
Maybe we're too stupid.
And you should
to
look
just
at that if you're out there and go, that person's still around. They've done all this great work, and they're minimalized. You never see my work or your work on huge websites anymore. They've moved on to people who are more compliant, who just really, you know, go along with the company line. And there's a company line in the alternative media just as there is in the mainstream media.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, Jack, I know you wanted to talk about the activism going on with TPP, so fill us in.
Oh, man, this is one of those things like Monsanto, where people that are inherently left or right are finding a lot of common ground. And I know you know Kevin Zeese. He's one of the people that went down to the U.S. Trade Building in D.C. and hung 4 giant anti-TPP banners. If you don't know what that is, it's the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and I'm sure you've talked about it, Maria. It's NAFTA for the world. You know, the people that benefited from NAFTA and CAFTA because they could offer cheap labor are living in the rubble of the corporations that have moved out of there to places like China, or coming here for the TPP, the New Zealand, Chile, Peru, Vietnam, Japan, Australia, Thailand. And what's interesting is to see people from all sides, like the Monsanto issue, really beginning to understand just how bad this is, just how the people of Monsanto, Halliburton, Walmart, and Chevron, and McDonald's benefit from something like this, just how rich the rich get from an issue like this. So to see people standing up and being this brave, we've got a great story on our site, several stories, including a rant by the Dead Kennedys, Jello Biafra, on the subject, who's done his homework. It's certainly something that we can all come together on. So if you guys are looking for bridges out there to expand and to join and to communicate with people from all different political persuasions, this is a great issue. And can we stop it? Can we roll back these trade agreement things? Not that trading is bad, but that these trade agreements are horrible and signify global government to almost everybody, have been a colossal failure, have made people and the people like Mexico poorer than ever before. Then you get on board with this. You go figure out how to join or how to do something about it, and you'll find that you'll have more friends than ever before on at least this issue. So I love these unifying issues. People need to find out more about it. It needs to be out there a little bit more. So look up the Trans-Pacific Partnership and find out what you can do.
Absolutely. I mean, people are starting to realize, and I have been posting more stories of successes by We the People, when people can unite, put away those, you know, hot button topics, which are just there to, you know, create more division, and get together, because we can win, we do win, and we can make a difference. And I think that perhaps there's really a silver lining to the economic crash, is it puts so many more people in the same boat. So everybody's just as pissed off and looking for answers that they know is not coming from the government.
resist the TPP, stop fast track, and you can find all that on Facebook. If you go to our site at deadlinelive.info, just click on, I've still got this on my front page, and click on that and get educated on it. People, again, have to understand that how they create global government, and remember, global government, and let's have the right debates here, is the entire world controlled by just a few people. And this is what Zbigniew Brzezinski was talking about, the technotronic era where we'll be spied on and watched constantly, and that we'll live in one government controlled by a few people. All of the elites have talked about this. This is their way to do it. So we have to remember that that's how the European Union started. That's how all of these supernatural national governments start, is through these trade agreement, quote-unquote. And so if you're against globalism and you realize just how detrimental that is to your local community, then this is a big issue for you.
Absolutely. And, I mean, that's how, you know, the job situation in this country began, with all these, these trade agreements. They traded our jobs for what? Do you know what I mean? So
we're making $9 an hour, Maria. I truly believe it. And you can see even people in the unions now have really woken up to a lot of this. And they're fighting, by the way, they're also fighting this health care, or trying to get exemptions to health care. So.
Well, you know, they're saying the average price on this is going to be $328 a month, okay? That's like a car payment to most Americans, and they can't even make their car payment. All right, how are they going to be able to afford $328 a month?
They'll get subsidized, but there's strings attached to that, and that's the thing people have to understand. If we're going back to this issue of Obamacare, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to understand, is in order to get subsidized, you have to submit yourself to an anal probe by the IRS. You basically, it's like going on welfare. You've handed your entire life over to the government. They'll tell you how much you can make, what you can buy, how much you can own, what you do. There'll be periodic checks at your house to make sure that you're not abusing the system, massive red tape and bureaucracy, total control.
Right.
Total control. So if you can't afford it, you get subsidized and owned. That's really how this thing comes down.
Right. That means they're going to, you know, they'll have the right to just come in your house and maybe look and see what you have in your refrigerator. You know, what are you drinking? What are you smoking? You know, I think it's Michigan now that wants to regulate sexual activities.
Yeah.
You know,
they'll check your Facebook page, and if you talk about partying that night, that's going to go against you. There's going to be people out there, just like there is in the IRS, and they're going to monitor the behavior of the people that they own.
Absolutely.
So I know a lot of people that have never been on welfare or don't know anyone that's on it now. They don't understand just how they get you and how they keep you down so you cannot progress. They won't let you get an edge.
Total control. Right. They want to make you poor and keep you poor, because poor, hungry people are a lot easier to control.
Now, you can scam that system, as a lot of people do, but you risk your freedom by doing it. So they know that. So if you have an honest, law-abiding citizen that tries to partake in this, they're going to have a hell of a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, you know, the insurance business, too. I mean, most of the people that scam medical insurance are the doctors on their billings. Do you know what I mean? But you very rarely see them go to jail.
And the Republicans aren't going to save you. I love how, you know, the conservatives are taking the anti-Obamacare stance here. Let's not forget that in 2008, when McCain and Clinton and Obama were on the stage, they all agreed that this was the path that was going to be taken. So, you know, this is a dog and pony show that we're seeing, and it's easy to get distracted and just go, the Republicans are terrible, awful people, and they don't want us to have health care. They do. They want this deal to go through, too. Their lobbyists from the insurance companies are paying them to make sure this thing goes through, and that's why now we can see that it can't be stopped, no matter how much the poser, you know, is up reading Green Eggs and Ham, Senator Ted Cruz.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
I mean, come on, dude. Read Common Sense by Thomas Paine, or make use of that time, please. But
yeah, maybe read the Constitution.
He's the stalking horse that's going to stop any potential libertarian challenger. And they have the guys from the left that make sure to carve up anybody that's going to get in the way of Hillary Clinton. So Very dangerous people. No, it's the Republicrats and the Demopublicans that are bad, and they're all in on this deal, and we've got to wake up and take control.
Absolutely. Well, Jack, thanks so much for joining me today. I can barely wait to see what's going to happen between this month and next month.
Yeah, I hope we gave people enough information. It's hard in an hour show, so go to deadlinelive.info, and there's all kinds of intricate information with what we're talking about, and add me on Facebook because I do a lot of commentary there as well. And for my listeners, please thank you for supporting my good friend Maria Heller.
Well, thank you, Jack. Thanks for everything you do and for always having my back.
Love you and stay bold. We'll talk to you next month, if not sooner.
Okay, take care, Jack.
Bye-bye.
Jack Blood, check out his work, deadlinelive.info. He's got lots of good videos there. He's got his own archives there. Everybody else you might think is way ahead of us, but believe me, Jack and I have been here long before the rest, and we'll probably be here long after they're gone. So I'll see you guys tomorrow when I'm back with the news.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.